Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local, talking about topics no one in the valley would touch on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 1430 AM, and 100.9 FM, a River Network production.
Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. You get Dimitri 6 days a week. Oh, lucky, lucky you. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Dimitri live and dangerously local. Then 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Dimitri encore and dangerously local. You also get Stephen Novotny 5 days a week, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, all right here. The River Talk Radio Network, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, the Mighty 1290, and the Sturdy 1430, the audio path of totality here in the Upper Ohio Valley. Special guest on the phone here, exclusive interview with Derek Evans, my favorite January 6th political prisoner. He had been a delegate in the House of Delegates in West Virginia in Charleston. He went to the Capitol to protest the stealing of the election, and he got rounded up with any other Trump supporter and was put through, he and his family, put through absolute hell. Tell the listeners, Derek, what exactly happened to your family when they put you into the Fed gulag system?
Honestly, man, as a husband and a father, that was probably the worst part. And these are the side of the story that most people don't get to hear a whole lot about, you know, because there's so many of us and so many families. But, you know, they actually told me that they knew that I was home alone with my children. My oldest was 5 years old. I got four children. And they knew I was home alone when they came to get me. I absolutely traumatized my children. It took a lot of work on our part to get them to where they were, you know, no longer afraid of police officers, and just absolutely just trauma. Honestly, there's not probably any words to explain what this whole ordeal has done to them, especially my time away from them. Who knows, you know, what it did to my wife throughout all that as well. And I mean, once again, though, I'm so fortunate compared to some others. You know, there's a gentleman, I can't remember his last name. He's a veteran. He just got out of prison within the last week or so. And his wife had released the ring cam footage of them. She, you know, they had multiple kids, and she was pregnant at the time. And due to the SWAT team coming in with, you know, 15, 20 guys with guns and laser dots and putting them on the ground and all that stuff, she actually miscarried and lost their child through the midst of that. So these are issues that are so much deeper than the average person could probably ever understand in terms of what this government has done to people for simply being Trump supporters at the end of the day.
There's a special place in hell for all these people, the judges, the prosecutors, certainly the heads of the FBI and the DOJ and Merrick Garland. There's a special place in hell for all of these people. I absolutely believe that. So you had mentioned right before the break here, you were surprised when the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives that they did not start issuing subpoenas and demanding the judges and the prosecutors be held accountable or anything like that. The House of Representatives, yes, it's controlled by Republicans, but the vast majority are establishment Republicans or rhinos. So why did that surprise you that they did not act any differently than Democrats?
You know, I'm mad at myself for even putting any faith in those people, to be honest with you. I guess I deserve to be let down when you continue to put your faith in some of these people. It's very frustrating. I think the reason I thought that they would do something was, so these federal charges against President Trump, the Republicans are responsible for this at the end of the day. A lot of people don't know this. You can go look it up. But when Republicans took control, the DOJ still had hundreds of millions of dollars earmarked specifically to continue prosecuting January 6th and these sorts of issues. And when they came up for one of the votes, the Republicans, you know, myself and a lot of the other January 6th political prisoners and even, you know, just conservatives in general were arguing and begging the Republicans to, you know, use this as a bargaining chip and get that earmark removed to remove the funding from them. And this is before President Trump was ever prosecuted. And so the Republicans didn't do that. They left it in there. And to your point, I believe most of the Republicans, even the ones who publicly say they support President Trump, I think they're holding their nose and doing it behind closed doors. They were hoping that this would be the end of President Trump as well. And so the Republicans are actually the ones who funded the January 6th persecutions that's taken place over the last 2 years, as well as the federal prosecutions that happened to President Trump over the last 2 years. All of that was due to Republicans allowing that to stay in and that funding to be there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, they approved a new headquarters for the FBI, a new building that's going to be larger than the Pentagon. And the only reason for that, as far as I can tell anyway, is so that it'll be easier for the FBI and other agencies that are stooges for the FBI to spy on American citizens. That's the Republican establishment who did this.
Yeah, we rewarded them for their efforts of what they've done lately. Like, we didn't punish them. We rewarded them with a new building. It's absolutely mind-blowing.
It really is. Think about it. Yeah, no question. And as far as the January 6th political prisoners, I've been hammering away at this for a very long time now. I said that as soon as the Republicans took control of the House, they had promised that they would release all the recordings, more than 40,000 hours of video regarding anything connected with January 6th. And then people would see that this was all a lie, that these were just trumped up charges and that people would be released. They released a few minutes regarding that shaman, the guy with the buffalo head thing on. And as soon as people saw that he was okay, they released him. But the other 40,000 or so hours, literally around 40,000 or so hours of recordings with all the different cameras there, the Republicans under Kevin McCarthy did not release the videos. In fact, I sent two FOIA requests, one to his office in D.C. and one to his office in California, demanding access to this. No response whatsoever. None whatsoever. Then Ms. Mike Johnson, who's supposedly a conservative from Louisiana, comes in, and the same thing. They still will not release the 40,000 or so hours of video recordings of January 6th. And if they did, then we would see what kind of lie all of this thing is. This is the Republican establishment that is now in large part responsible for keeping these poor bastards in the federal gulag. I mean, how does your head not explode when you realize what the Republican establishment has done to us?
Man, I'll tell you, there's a lot to unpack with everything you just said there. So I want the American people to know that not only did they not release that footage to the public, they violated the constitutional rights, you know, the Brady rule of exculpatory evidence. They never gave us as defendants the footage to use in our own defense, which they're required to do by law. We're our attorneys. None of us have ever seen the footage either. And here you have people, you know, like me in my situation, I was like, they opened that door from the inside and they kept telling me that they didn't. And I said, well, get the footage. Let's look at it. You know, like I know that for a fact that they did. And they would never show me. I had an 18-month legal battle. I had already served my time. I had been home for almost a year and a half, went to D.C. for an event, was able to finally go inside. This is after Republicans took control. So they had it on like a little terminal and was able to get in there. And sure enough, I was correct. They opened the doors from the inside, just like I had said. But they never would provide that evidence to us during our defense.
Okay, here's what I don't understand. Live exclusive interview with Derek Evans, my favorite January 6th political prisoner, former delegate of West Virginia, who is going to be hunting the wrinkled rhino. Shelley Moore Capito, West Virginia's wrinkled rhino. Shelley Moore Capito in the Senate. We'll get to that in a bit. So when they would not release, when the feds would not release the videos, why didn't you, or maybe you did, appeal that ruling and take it all the way up to the Supreme Court to make the Supreme Court force them to release all of this information so you would have a chance to defend yourself? What happened?
Well, financially, you know, after 18-month legal battle, they've got unlimited funds, basically. You're not guaranteed a public defender. So I didn't know this either. This is another thing that I learned. If you make, you know, certain amount of money, and it's not much, by the way. So the way it worked for my wife and I with four kids in West Virginia, if we made over 40 something, I don't know the exact number, it was 40 something thousand dollars. If we made over 40 something thousand dollars, they were not required to give us a public defender, and they would not give us a public defender. And there's many other January 6th political prisoners who have went through this same situation to where, you are now, self-funding all of this. And, we were all kicked off of social media, had no way to fundraise that way, you know, for these legal fees. Luckily there were a few people who got wrapped up in this who did have, some financial backing and were able to take a lot of these issues, forward and have continued to fight that. And, just like the 1512 obstruction of official proceeding charge, which is one of them that I was charged with, which is a 20-year felony charge. I was facing 24 years in prison for peacefully protesting. And that's one of the charges, but the Supreme Court finally threw that charge out just within the last few months. I mean, so it was 4 years and of people fighting that, knowing it was unconstitutional. They knew it was unconstitutional, but they didn't care because it was just a way to get Trump supporters. Luckily, that did get taken to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court threw out the 1512 obstruction of official proceeding charge, and some of the people have got to come home from prison due to that because of their time served up to that point on other charges. But there needs to be some major lawsuits against the DOJ, in my opinion, for knowingly, unconstitutionally charging people just to throw them in prison.
And I think you might want to get a lawyer to also sue the social media platforms, specifically Facebook and Twitter back in the day before Elon Musk, and GoFundMe and these others as well, because it sounds like, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not offering a legal opinion, I'm a high school grad, but it sure sounds like it was a conspiracy to take away all of your civil rights.
Oh, that definitely was. I mean, the Twitter files prove that when Elon Musk, you know, bought Twitter and turn it into X, obviously. And when he released some of the Twitter files, it was very obvious in there that there was a coordinated effort between the government and these private social media companies to suppress the free speech of conservatives on many issues. And so that, you know, that's definitely proven, you know, that they had back channels, they had special chats where the FBI could message higher ups at Twitter in group chats and say, hey, suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, suppress these January 6th birth people. Oh, this person right here, delete their account. And they were doing it, and Twitter was following orders. And
can
if
you
they did
sue
it at
them?
Twitter, you know that they were that they were doing it at Facebook and other places.
Can you sue them?
I'm not for sure. Honestly, we've been, and that's the other thing, we've all been so tied up in fighting for our freedom, and then once you get out, to be honest with you, Dimitri, once you get out, such as myself, you then have this form of, I don't know how to explain it. I guess the best way of explaining it would be survivor's guilt of, you know, cause I know what it's like to be locked up in there and to be able to be home with my family now. There's an immense amount of, guilt sometimes, knowing that there's other guys that you left behind who were stuck in there right now, who didn't really do anything more than you did, and that you're lucky to be home with your family. And so I've taken my time to try to fight for them and be a voice for them, because I feel like they would do the same for me if the roles were reversed. And the only thing that I can do to make myself feel better, I guess. And
yeah, no question.
Okay to hear.
Yeah, Derek, yeah. No question. I'm going to continue with this and want you to tell everybody how you're gunning for the Wrinkled Rhino, West Virginia's Wrinkled Rhino, Shelley Moore Capito. That is coming up next. Dimitri, live and dangerously local.